If you got your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter? You should have a Bible. And hear my heart. Get a Bible, a paper Bible. Everybody say a paper Bible. Yeah, get a paper Bible. I have a paper Bible that I use and highlight and read. And you know what? And you can come check it out. Get a paper Bible. There's nothing so amazing like knowing where to find a scripture when you know how to use your paper Bible. All right? But if you have it on your iPad, your smartphone, and you can see it on the screen, that's still cool. Matthew's Gospel, the 24th chapter, verse 21, says this: "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor shall ever be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened." The tribulation is not some distant event that's going to happen in 50 years. We are on the cusp of tribulation. We are at the very juncture where the tribulation can happen instantly as the rapture takes place. The rapture is the last great event on the prophetic calendar before the start of the tribulation. Now, this is a conflicting teaching that you're going to hear out there. Because some people believe that we are already in the tribulation. There are preachers preaching right now online that will tell you, you are in the tribulation. But would you do me a favor this morning, and would you look at somebody and would you tell them, you look absolutely marvelous. How could you be in the tribulation? It's impossible. When the tribulation happens, trust me, you're going to look the part. Some of you are in tribulation when you're hungry and you look the part. So I could only imagine when the real tribulation happens, how you're going to look and how you're going to talk. Amen. Now, some people believe that the church will go through the tribulation. I'm going to define tribulation in a minute, but let me deal with this as an introduction. The church is going to go through the tribulation period. Pastor, what is the tribulation period, obviously? So, when the rapture happens, according to Daniel's 70 weeks, there will be 7 years of tribulation. The tribulation will begin and it will last for 7 years. So there are some people who believe that the tribulation will last for 7 years. Now, to debunk that previous argument, if you are in tribulation, when did it start and how do you know when it's going to end? So according to the Bible, we will know when it will start, and we will know when it will end. It will last exactly 7 years. If God said 7 years, thank you, Jesus. Can you do that with the tithes and offering? Nobody responded, my Jesus. Wow, it's amazing how this works. So there are three types of beliefs in the tribulation. There's what you call the pre-tribulationist, which I will proudly identify myself as a pre-tribulationist, meaning that I believe that the rapture will happen before the tribulation starts. and that the tribulation will start when the rapture happens. Okay, that's what I believe. Personally, you do not have to believe what I believe. A lot of you don't, so you don't have to right now. Also, there is the mid-tribulationist, mid-trib people. And they believe that the rapture will take place in the middle of the seven-year tribulation, so which is 3.5 years into it. And they kind of want to stick around to see the Antichrist. You know, a lot of people suspect it might be their neighbors. I'll leave it there. They want to kind of stick around to see what's going to happen and so forth. And that's cool. We're going to fix that in a minute. Just want to prepare you for it. And then, of course, there is the post-tribulationist, which is what we're going to address this morning. And the post-tribulationists believe that we have to stay on the earth for the entirety of the 7 years of the tribulation, endure the tribulation, and then and hopefully survive it. And then the rapture will happen just at the end of the tribulation. I don't even see the point of that. We're going to fix that in a minute. And then you're going to be in heaven, and Jesus is going to be on the earth. And see ya. And then there's a weird other piece of thing that happens. There's these guys that call themselves the pan-tribulationists. I know, right? The pan-tribulationists. You're thinking pans and pots in your cupboards and or this might come from Trinidad, the steel pan tribulation. The pan tribulationists believe that everything will just pan out and whatever happens, happens. Who cares? They don't even talk about the rapture. They don't care about the tribulation. They're living every day for today. And they don't really care. If I die, I die. If I live, I live. If I eat, I eat. God bless you, dummy. But I'll leave it there. It'll all pan out in the end. Now, let me say this before I get really into it. Whatever your position is this morning, it's not worth splitting hairs over. When it happens, it'll happen for sure. It'll happen for sure. And if you decide to stick around, God bless you. I just want you to know up front, I hate pain and suffering. In fact, I'm afraid of the cold. And so I'm not sticking around. I'm not going to be here. However, I said last week or a week before, if you plan to stick around, I'm going to leave my address. I'm going to leave some water in the fridge for you. God bless you. All right? But it's not worth splitting hairs over. We split hairs over so many stupid things. We've already split hairs over color. And we've split hairs over doctrines, so many other doctrines. And it's ridiculous. I don't think this is worth the time. And should you decide to split hairs, God bless you. Thank you for coming today. If you're watching online, God bless you. Thank you for watching. God bless you. Now, I'm saying all that because I've learned something about the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't cater to your feelings. The Word of God doesn't care how you feel in the sense is, you know, if you feel good about something, if you feel like this is truth. I don't care if you feel it's truth or not. The Word of God, the concern of the Word of God is transformation and victory. Write it down. The concern of the Word of God is what? The Word of God, when you read the Word of God, it wants to transform you and it wants to give you victory at every cost. Everybody say amen. 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 The Word of God is more interested in bearing fruit in our lives. It's very dominated by the idea of fruit bearing. The believer must bear good fruit. The believer must not only be informed about spiritual things, but the believer's life must grow. The believer's life must begin to experience all that Jesus paid for. Amen. Your life should be improved. Your life should be better. Every time you pick up that Bible, you hear me this morning, God plans to give you fruit from it. Supernatural things will happen. And one of the things I think is going to happen is that you and I will start becoming more and more like Jesus as we read the Word. Everybody say, read the Bible. Do you know why a lot of Christians are still the same? They read the Bible. Many read the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They don't believe what they read. How do I know? Check your tithes. It's ABCs. Got quiet. Silence in the church immediately as you say tithes. We believe everything. No, you don't. You don't believe everything. You don't believe the Bible. If people who believe the Bible live by the Bible. Amen. Thank you. Even if you don't believe it, say amen. It's silly. People don't believe the Bible. And this is one of the struggles we have as preachers. Getting you to believe the Bible. Now, I'm not here to beat you up. Remember I told you it's not about beating you up. You don't believe the Bible because if you believe the Bible, you'll start living from it. It's a very common thing to understand. Now, when you lack understanding of the Word of God, when you lack understanding, it shows up in your life. Why does it show up in your life? You know what Hebrews, look at this, Hebrews 4:12 says. Look at what it says. For the Word of God, everybody says, my Bible, is living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit. No other religion can divide your soul and spirit. Of joints and marrows, that can't be done either by science. And is a discerner of your thoughts and the intent of your heart. Nobody can do that except God. And so when you read the Word of God, it somehow separates light from darkness. It can divide your spirit, your flesh, your emotions. Watch this. It can take your emotions and compartmentalize it and take the spiritual and compartmentalize it. It doesn't make you spiritually powerful and still cause you to behave like an idiot. It divides that. That's how powerful the Word is. The Word can do things you can't even imagine can happen. And so I don't know why you wouldn't read it, but here's what I want to tell you. When you read the Word and you understand the Word, you understand it, things begin to change in your life. The way you think begins to change in your life. Spiritual growth began to happen. Fruit began to come forward. So when you're not seeing growth, when you're not seeing spiritual fruit, when you're seeing people digress or regress, they're going backwards. Instead of becoming better, they're becoming a worse drunk. Instead of staying away from alcohol, they're drinking more. What? Guess why? They don't believe the Word. They're not applying the Word. The Word's not working. Now you got to hear what I'm about to tell you. The Word's not taking effect. Yet the Word can divide, can change your life. The Word has life in it. Everybody say the Word has life in it. It can transform you. That's what Hebrews is saying. It can do things for you that you cannot do, that science cannot do. That's the book of Hebrews. That's what it's saying. This is a description of the power of the Word of God this morning. Man, the Word can change situation, transform hearts, bring miracles, stop the devil. And yet people are reading the Word and they're behaving like the devil. Why is that? I do believe that the Word can bring change with all my heart. But I believe that you have to believe the Word for it to do that. Everybody said, believe the word. I'm really trying to dig in with you this morning. So if you don't believe the word, you'll just be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. You never get to the doing because you never got to the believing. The missing piece of the equation is belief. So I read it, missing belief, so I can't do. Everybody say, well, I expect you to read the word and change. No, I expect you to read the word and believe it. And when you believe it, change happens. Everybody said change happens. So you'll get people quoting scriptures, and it happens to me all the time. Damn liars. Did I say that? Yeah, I did. They're quoting scriptures to me like they're God. They're the worst liars on the planet. And I know it. How do I know? Because what they read, they don't. Nudge your neighbor and say, be a believing believer. Be a believing believer. And doesn't that, don't you see that all? Aren't you vexed with me? I'm vexed. I love Isaiah 55. Look at how powerful. So shall my word go forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in all things which I've sent it. You know what I love about this part of the text? All the other religious books are like, guys, could you bring me my tree, please? Artificial one, yeah, that beautiful one that I asked to be put right here on the stage every week. Thank you. Let's put it right here. Look at this. This tree, no, it's okay, good. This tree. This tree looks absolutely real. It looks beautiful. It can decorate this place really nicely. This is how I think of religion. It sounds good. It looks good when you're in part of it. It makes you feel good. 5, 9 wives. I mean, it wouldn't feel good. You know what I mean? But it's as artificial as you can get. It cannot change you. It cannot do anything for you. And that's what religion is. Religion is as fake as you can get it, but no change happens when you follow religion. It's just an artificial tree in your life. And what am I saying this morning? I'm saying the word of God is completely different than artificial religion. The word of God, according to the scriptures, the moment you pick it up and start believing it, change. Ridiculous stuff starts happening. Like stuff. Everybody say stuff. Yeah, like you get solutions. And you get miracles. And you get breakthroughs. And you get blessings. And you actually feel nice. You get peace. Your life starts to change. People start to like you. That's what happened to me. The people who used to run away from me, like Christine. I became attractive all of a sudden. She wants to marry me. Guess what happened, young people? You're going to get a legit girl. Yeah. Legit. Too legit to quit. Why is that song in my head? Here's the problem. Nowhere in the Bible will you read that God wants you to perish. Because the word itself is life. Everybody say the word is life. And if you're a real serious person about the Bible, when you pick it up, you will realize very quickly that everything in the Bible is about you having life, having love, having peace, having joy, having breakthroughs, having miracles, living your best life because of Jesus. So the word itself, the very Bible that you're going to read, will direct you towards life. Did everybody say amen? And everybody say, it exists? To give me life. So you need to read it. You need to pick it up and read it and get involved with the word. And even if you don't understand, text me, I can help you. Yeah. There's a lot of people that text me on WhatsApp. You can do that. It's okay. I'll just respond when I respond. Just don't get anxious. I don't have a problem with answering questions. But here's the thing. The Word of God doesn't want you to suffer. I don't see anywhere in the Word of God that it talks about suffering and that you have to suffer. It always talks about blessings. It always talks about deliverance. It always talks about healing. It always talks about your breakthrough, not your defeat, not suffering. And so watch this, Ezekiel 18:32. For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God, who... We don't have that? Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I don't know why I missed that. So the Bible says, so turn and live. Ezekiel 18:32. Pull it up. Thank you. See that? It doesn't hurt. God has no intention. You got to hear me. I'm building into this deception so that you understand why I'm against this tribulation teaching that we have to suffer. It is against the Word of God. Everybody say, it's against the Word of God. You have to learn that. When something is against the Word of God, it is against God. Do you understand this morning? If your wife is against the Word, she's against God. If religion, you're talking to a religious person and they're against the Word. If you don't live according to the Word, you are living against God. You're an enmity. If you're going to believe the word, believe it all. Don't choose what you want to believe. And the general consensus of the word, is that I've sent my word to heal, to deliver, to cause you to live and not die. Not to suffer and perish and go through the tribulation. And so one of the greatest mistakes that these interpreters of scriptures are doing is they don't even believe the scriptures. And that's where we have the problem with some of these teachings. They're trying to teach you about the tribulation, but they're missing the very basic, which is life comes from God. And that God has no pleasure in the death of anyone. And he wants you to turn and live. Isn't that amazing? I love 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then John 3:16, another one of my favorite. For God so loved the world. Do you not understand? He doesn't want to hurt you. That he gave his only begotten son to do what? To save you. But you know what? We're going to let you go through tribulation so he can kill you. It's a contrary thought to the very word of God. It is contrary to the very nature of God, who is life and love and grace and mercy and victory and deliverance. And you're telling me that I have to go through the tribulation when you're contradicting the very word of God that you're reading? Something's wrong. There's a lot of deception being loosed on the media right now, on TV, social media, TikTok. Ladies and gentlemen, if God wanted us to perish, he wouldn't have sent his son, Jesus. Can I say that boldly? If God wanted you to die in sin, if God wanted you to perish or punish or suffer, he would never have sent Jesus to the cross. Jesus went to the cross so you and I can be free this morning, delivered and healed and blessed. Can I tell you who comes to destroy you this morning? The thief. It's the devil. John 10:10. It's the devil that came to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the devil that wants you to go through the tribulation. And I think a lot of these people that are preaching that you have to go through the tribulation are of the devil. They want you to perish. The devil wants you to suffer, be broke, busted, and disgusted. He wants your marriage to be messed up. He wants you to be poor. He wants you to be sick. He wants you to feel the pain. Nah, I'm afraid of pain. Do you understand this morning why the coming tribulation is not for the church? Do you understand this morning why it's not for the church? Because it's not part of God's plan in the Word. And if you want to argue that this morning, that's how you argue it. The very Bible that they're using is against their teaching. The very word is life, and they're preaching death and punishment. Let's look at some things this morning. So God's word by nature reveals this truth that he saves and he heals and he blesses and he gives life and abundance. And especially under grace, there is no curse, no sickness, no suffering, no death. Because Jesus Christ paid for life on the cross. Man, this teaching doesn't line up with the word. Folks, the tribulation that's coming is going to be devastating. Don't get me wrong. And that is an understatement. For me to say the tribulation is going to be bad, that's like not having food when you go on money when you go on a date. That's bad. That's bad. Some of you apparently know what I'm talking about. Wow. That's bad. Let's go for a walk on the beach. Can we get ice cream? My stomach is off, man. Let's not do that. It's like, that sounds like tribulation on a date, but I'll leave that there. During the tribulation, the earth will descend into unimaginable turmoil and horror and chaos, like things you have never seen in your life. The sun, the Bible says, will scorch humanity with unbearable heat. Darkness will cover the earth, suffocating everyone. Oceans and river will turn to blood. The stench of death will be on every street corner, in every home. My God, hail mingled with fire will fall from the sky. The sky will open up and disaster will come out. Famine will grip this planet like nothing you've ever seen at Walmart when the shelves are empty. Crops and fruits and livestock will fall into diseases and disappear and die in front of our eyes. There'll be mass hunger on the earth. People will fight each other to survive. If you thought a donkey's head was expensive back in the Old Testament, imagine what your head will cost. They're gonna pay to eat your body. There'll be mass starvation on the earth. The Antichrist will control the economics of this world. You won't be able to buy or sell. You won't be able to go to the grocery store and get water unless you take the mark of the beast. You will face horrible circumstances. The Antichrist will rise like a tyrant, deceiving nations, and the Bible says demanding worship. Demonic forces will be loosed from the abyss. Grotesque creatures will come up and sting you like a scorpion with poison all over the earth. Massive earthquakes will be on the earth. Shattered lives, shifting planets, swallowing up entire cities, ladies and gentlemen. Our precious islands will just disappear. Goodbye, Jamaica. I love you, Trinidad. Cuba, count your vacation spot MIA. You think staying in the tribulation is going to be good for the church? Who wants to face that? The Bible says the skies will roll back. The sky will fall. And people will hide and beg to die because of the horror that will be on this earth. The Bible tells us the wrath of the Lamb of God will be loosed on this earth. Why would you want to stay back on the earth? Let me give you a definition for tribulation. In a biblical sense, the word tribulation, thlipsis, simply means pressure, affliction, anguish, referring to the intense trouble and persecution or judgment that comes upon people, either personally or globally. Tribulation that is coming is not going to be an easy ride. It is God's judgment poured out upon the earth, church. Why would God keep his beloved church in that? The coming tribulation has two major aspects to it. First, the Bible tells us God will bring Israel back to himself through the process of tribulation. So he's going to use all this judgment like he did in the Old Testament, where he caused nations to judge Israel, where they brought destruction and brought them into captivity, like the Babylonians that captured them and brought them into captivity. God is going to use tribulation, and he's going to bring Israel back. Everybody say, bring Israel back. Everybody chant, bring Israel back. Bring, good, got it. God is going to bring them back. And why is God going to bring them back? Because he put a blindfold on them so he can bring you in. And now that you are going to be raptured, he now has to go back and take the blindfold off. But that's going to cause a little bit of rumbling in the Bronx. So that's what's going to happen. He has to bring them back. Right now they're all tied up with their little curly, I like those curls. But soon the scales will come off their eyes and they will return to the Messiah. Secondly, he will pour out wrath and judgment on the godless people of this world. Now, I want you to understand that tribulation has nothing to do with the church. Everybody say zero. It's about Israel and it's about judgment. What is it about? So when you hear the word tribulation, immediately go to Israel and the church. And not the church. Judgment. Tribulation has nothing to do with the church. The church is gone. We're in heaven. He's not going to punish the church. Plus, can I say this out of ignorance for those who are preaching nonsense? The church is saved. Why would he put a saved church through tribulation? He's not going to punish the church because the church is already his bride. Why would you punish your wife? Oh, that came out rough. The church is already punished in Christ. When you receive Jesus Christ, you receive what he was punished for on the cross. So you are no longer punished. So the Bible says it this way in Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. So if you're gonna push the church through the tribulation, there has to be a reason for that, because the church is so free, we're so blessed, we've already been redeemed, saved, sanctified, made holy. Hallelujah. Amen. So there must be a reason. Let me give you three reasons why the post-tribulationists believe that the church has to go through the tribulation. Three reasons. Number one, they believe that if the church goes through the tribulation, it purifies the church. Well, they believe that the church needs to be purified, and by testing, you know, the church needs to go through the refiner's fire. Who wrote that song? You need to go through the fire before you reach the Lord. Can I tell you something, folks? The Lord went through the fire for you. Hello? The church is already purified by the blood of Jesus. We don't need to be purified by fire. There goes refiner's fire. The song just killed it. What are you purified by? The blood. Everybody say, oh, the blood of Jesus. His blood purifies you. His blood washes you of your sin. By the way, you don't need to get baptized to get washed. You're washed by the blood. Buddy, you know, Pastor, if I get baptized, I'm going to be clean. Stop your nonsense. You're clean already. You've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. You've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at what Ephesians says here. Look what it says. Husbands, love your wives. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Just as Christ loved the church. Okay, I love the church. Here we go. Gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle. Some translations spot and without any blemish, but holy and blameless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ladies and gentlemen, the church is clothed and washed. She's clothed in righteousness. We don't need to be purified. We don't need to go through the tribulation to get right. It's not about works. It's about grace. Watch this. You are not saved by your works, so you don't need to go through the fire so that your bad works can drop off. Jesus took your bad works and nailed it to the cross and washed you with the blood, making you righteous and ready. Hallelujah. You can now stand in the presence of God because you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You can stand boldly before the throne of God without shame because you've been already washed. So the excuse that, oh, the church needs to go through the tribulation so we can be washed, is contrary to Scripture. Secondly, believers are promised tribulation. You know the text says this, in this world you will have tribulation. Do you know the Bible says that? So the truth is, you are going to go through a hard time. If you're going through a hard time, welcome to the world. Hello? There's hardship in this world, but we have Jesus who overcame the world. And by believing in him, we too can overcome the world. Hallelujah, somebody. Christians should expect to go through tribulation. Again, I told you tribulation means hardship. But I believe in this context, Jesus is probably preaching not to Christians, he's probably preaching to the Jews, who should expect to go through tribulation because they still have to come to the Lord. And in times past, it's through hardship, challenges, that God brought them to himself because they chose the law, works. We chose grace. So he went through our hardship so that we can believe and receive. So we are under an entirely different covenant. And so we don't actually have to go through tribulation. None of you have to perish this morning. You don't have to die from sickness. You don't have to believe Dr. Mutu's report. You don't have to die from poverty. By the way, none of you here look like you're in poverty. None of you. Look at your shoes. None of you are walking barefoot this morning. But you are poor. You just don't have enough to buy another pair of shoes. Say that, but you know, you're not poor. We, ladies and gentlemen, the church is, we're in a different dispensation. We're completely at a different place in God's economy. I believe the church, in fact, has been going through some undertones of persecution, or if you want to call it, tribulation. Because persecution is also some form of tribulation. Many North Americans, in fact, don't really see tribulation. I mean, what's the worst tribulation? The restaurant doesn't have space to receive you the time you call to book. Sorry, ma'am, we don't have space for your party of two until the next hour and a half, Red Lobster. I'm boycotting Red Lobster. I heard that. You still go? Listen, the worst tribulation a lot of North Americans go through is perhaps their wife saying, "You're going out again?" or you need another purse? It's like tribulation. A woman hears that, they're like, "What?" Well, why can't I have another purse? You bought one for your mother. I'll leave that there. North Americans are so comfortable. And the truth is, we are oblivious of the persecution that's happening in the world right now. You know, in the olden days, when the church became the church, they were fed to lions, burned alive, beheaded, beaten, stoned, tortured. Some of them had their babies ripped out of their womb while nailed to a stake. And others stood and watched to create fear and conversion. You want to talk about persecution? The church has been through persecution. We probably are going through, and we are going through persecution right now all around the world. The church is being attacked. Did you know that? According to the Open Door 2025 report, it says this, that over 380 million Christians globally face high level of persecution or discrimination for their faith. Thousands of Christians are killed each year for their faith. Churches are burnt, homes are burnt, children are beaten, women are beaten, and people are put in hospital with broken bones, damaged egos and pride. Everything they have is stripped from them, destroyed. Believers face legal actions in some cultures where it's ran by demonic religions. Some Christians face discrimination in the job market. You can't get a job because you are a Christian. We don't want you here. You don't fit our culture, they say. It used to be when you were black or when you were brown or when you were Hispanic, you couldn't get the job. But now, as soon as they find out from your Facebook or Instagram account that you're a Christian, they fire you. You just don't fit, they say. Isn't that something? You talk about persecution, it's going to get worse as we get closer to the rapture. Countries like North Korea, China, Nigeria kill Christians by an alarming rate. Thousands of Christians die daily, and nobody knows. Muslim nations kill Christians every day, and nobody says anything. The same Christians that are saying we must go through persecution, they live in North America. Did you hear what I just said? Go on your TV, pull up God TV if you want, there is one, and see, the fools that are preaching this nonsense are all Americans who drive fancy cars, eat steak every day, live in a big house, have money, And they're telling us that we must go through persecution. Check it out. The people who are, you will never hear those who are in persecution preach, we must go through persecution. You will never hear that. Why? Because they have too much sense. Hallelujah. So if you believe that you have to go through persecution as a church, I want to tell you you're absolutely wrong. There is a difference, ladies and gentlemen, between persecution or tribulation caused by the world. Tribulation caused by the world is persecution, and the tribulation, which is God's judgment. There are two different types of tribulation. So when I think when Jesus also mentions that we must go through tribulation, it's talking about tribulation caused by the world. But the tribulation that is coming is caused by God. Write it down. Very important for you to understand. When God sends his judgment, you will not be able to stand. You will bow. You will bow. I do not believe that the tribulation that is coming is for the church. Because why would God send Jesus to save us and then send tribulation for the same church he saved? Doesn't make sense. So the people who are preaching this nonsense, they've never read 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. They've never read that scripture. The tribulation that is coming is from God. The tribulation that you're facing is from the world. Do you understand the difference? You need to separate that. It's very important because when you listen to these preachers preach, they are not doing the math correctly in your ear. And they sound very convincing, but they're not telling you the whole truth. They are deceiving the church. One is from the world. How many of you have received persecution from the world? I have. We all have. I received it from Christians. I'll leave it there. But the one that is coming is from God. And that tribulation and that persecution is coming to the sinner. You are not the sinner. You are the church. And you will not be here this morning. Some say that we need to stay in the tribulation because it is the ideal time to win souls. People will be under so much pressure. They'll be desperate for Jesus. We've seen that, haven't we? A little bit of hard thing happens in life. Everybody runs to church. A building blows up. A guy gets shot. The whole of America runs into a church. Lasts for 3 weeks, and everybody runs out. We've seen that before. And here is the thing. We've been told that, oh, when people are, and you who are here and you're an evangelist, you should know anybody that's going through a hard time, it's a great time to introduce Jesus. I agree. So the tribulationists, or post-tribulationists, believe that we will need to be here in the tribulation. This is what one guy said. We would need to be here because these people will need our help. You can't even help yourself. You won't even be able to help yourself. You won't even be able to get food. Where you going to help somebody get food? You can't even do a miracle now. You're going to try to do a miracle in the tribulation? Go ahead, try multiplying your bread and fish now. Oh, I can show me. Oh, but you got to multiply food and feed people in the tribulation. Well, you've never met a Jamaican and you've never seen them eat. In one day, all your food is gone. Amen. Karan, he's Jamaican. He okay, that's a statement. Sheesh. My God. You don't know what tribulation is going to be like. But you're going to get people saved. Try saving your neighbors now. Why don't you be an evangelist now and go and preach the gospel? Didn't it say in Matthew 28:19, go ye into all the world and make disciples? How come you ain't doing that now? You're going to wait till the tribulation comes to make disciples? This is what they want to convince us of. They want to convince me that you and I, if we stay around in the tribulation, it's going to be A-okay with it. God is going to preserve us and somehow we're going to find food like Elijah by the brooks. The brooks will dry up because the sun is going to be so hot. The ravens will fall from the sky because of the heat. Do you know that the church is called to impact the world right now? Do you know you're supposed to tell people about the gospel and Jesus' love right now? You don't wait till they get in because they might not even make it. They might die today. Waiting for the tribulation on the mind's fate in God's word right now. God has given us everything, ladies and gentlemen, that we need. The book of Acts says, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power and you shall be my witnesses in all the world, in Jerusalem and Judea and the utmost part of the world. You'll witness for me. Why aren't you witnessing now? What makes you think you're going to do it in the tribulation? That's like trying to say to me, those people say, oh, when I win $1 million, I'm going to give the Lord. You don't even give now. What? You're crazy. You don't even know what you're talking about. Amen. Somebody amen out. We get so quiet in this place. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 7, it talks about 144,000 Jews who will be saved in the tribulation. So God's got his own bunch of people that he's going to save in the tribulation. He's going to save 144,000 Jews. How many? 12,000 from every tribe, very specific number. And these Jews, the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and the Holy Spirit will give them supernatural abilities, and they're going to go around, and they're going to preach to all the people left in the tribulation. You know, the guys who don't want to take the mark of the beast, they're resisting right now because the digital ID is coming. I said the digital ID is coming. It's, if you're from Barbados, it's there. I said, if you're from Barbados, it's there. If you plan to go to Barbados and do some banking, you're going to get it. It's in Thailand. It's in England in a soft copy. It's coming to Canada. It's in Mexico. It's everywhere. You can't hide. You can only resist. And if you resist, you won't be able to buy or sell. What do you mean you have to go through the tribulation? And hear my heart this morning. This 144,000 people that God's going to raise up, they're actually going to evangelize. They're not going to be like us. I'm an evangelist. I just stay home and watch babies. What? Stop your nonsense. An evangelist goes into all the world and preaches the gospel. When you claim a title, do the work. Can I say that? When you claim the title, do the work. You want to be a husband? Which woman said that out loud? Oh, hallelujah. I love this church. It's so aggressive. What? My goodness. Now, just for fun, I want to tell you this morning that there's some, the Bible clearly says that this 144,000 will be Jews, not Jehovah's Witness. Got to clear my throat on that one. And so the next time you see some booklets on the street corner, please go there and open the scripture and say, sorry, it says Jews. Unless your name is Munju, then we don't, you ain't going. You ain't not part of the crew. You know what I'm saying? Just you know, I'm just saying it because I could say it. Amen. And by the way, they're Jews. They're not Christians. They're not the church. If God wanted you to know that the evangelists in the end days will be the church, he would have said 144,000 from KICC will be saved. And at least one of them, at least one of them will be an evangelist. I love it. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you for having a sense of humor. I love it. Can I tell you this? When somebody gets saved in the tribulation, they will not be the church. The church will be in heaven. And what they will be called is simply saints. So like Revelation 7:9, I think it says that, or 14, it says that they'll be called tribulation saints or tribulation believers. There is no church in the tribulation. Everybody say with me, there is no church in the tribulation. There's no church. The only church that will be in the tribulation is the church of the false prophet. Which, don't be there. That's the humanist church where everything is tolerated. That's the only church that's going to be in the tribulation. So if you plan to be the church in the tribulation, you've missed your calling. One person got that joke? Hallelujah. You've missed the trumpet. There is no church in the, if you're planning to join the church, well, you know what, Pastor, I think I'm going to wait it out, you know. It's like every year I just wait it out. And nothing is going to happen. Really? You think so? You really believe nothing is going to happen? After all this preaching, I've been preaching here about the tribulation, you still believe nothing's going to happen? All the signs that we see clearly that the end of the world is right at the door. Do you not see AI? Don't you have ChatGPT? Well, one day it will talk to you. It'll ask you questions. Are you okay? Those who are saved in the tribulation, their salvation will be real. They will be really saved. I thank God for that. But I want to tell you, they're going to be living under the wrath of God. The tribulation coming is God's judgment on the sinner. They'll be living under the wrath of God. I don't know how long you'll be able to survive. Some people will be like 2 minutes. Some people will be a day. It depends, you know. It depends on how much you like food, how much you like your freedom, because you won't have any. You won't have water to drink. And on top of that, there'll be chaos on the earth. And I don't know how long you're going to survive, but here's two things that you need to do. Understand. The chaos that is coming, you won't be able to avoid it because it's judgment from God. Everybody say judgment from God. Anybody remember Noah? They couldn't run from the rain. What makes you think you can run from fire? It's a different tribulation. He says, I'll never send rain again, but he didn't say I wasn't going to send fire. He's sending fire. Count on it. Fire is coming on the earth. And the second thing you have to understand is that when you are saved, because of the false religion and the fact that the Antichrist will want you to bow to the idol of Satan, they're going to force you, and the Bible says clearly that they will kill you. And if you don't bow, you're going to die. So what's going to happen? Your head's going to be chopped off. They're going to bring back the guillotine. You're going to die. So if you plan to survive the tribulation, I assure you, it is very unlikely. You say, Pastor, what about the protection of God? Well, you're not the church in the tribulation. And the only people that will be protected is the 144,000 who the Bible says will have the seal of God upon them. Clearly it tells you that. So you do not have the seal of God. The seal of God is upon the church now, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. But once we are removed this morning, you hear my word, once we are removed this morning, the gates of hell will be loosed on this earth. And the seal will only be on the 144,000. So even if you think that you are going to be in the tribulation and you're going to make it, you're not going to make it, Jose. Hallelujah. Salvation will be real, but it'll be costly. It'll be costly. Someone argued that the church will be protected. I don't agree. God would have told us. My Father's in heaven. That's a big statement. If my mother's watching this, she's shocked. My daddy's in heaven. My daddy drank all his life. My daddy was a good man. Not the greatest of daddy, but he was a good man. There are many good people in this life. My daddy wasn't an evil man per se. He didn't make good choices. And I'm sure some of you understand that. You've probably been in my shoe. Your dad, your parents are not evil. It would be evil for us to call our parents evil. That's evil. But my daddy's in heaven, and I got a chance to speak to him when he had throat cancer, and he couldn't speak. And I said, Dad, you need to listen. They did a voice call with me and my dad, he was there, and he was suffering, and I could hear it, and I could just see tears from his eyes. I remember that video vividly, and he was just crying, and I said, Dad, you just need to listen. You just need to listen and nod your head if you agree. And I preached the gospel. I told him how Jesus went to the cross and died for him, and that Jesus saved me, and that I had the privilege of serving the Lord. And I've been very grateful for life and second chances. And I told him, I said, Dad, I know you're a Muslim, and my hope today is that you would recognize Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And my dad nodded his head. So I believe that my dad is in heaven. A couple days later, he passed. But with confidence, I know I had the opportunity to introduce my dad to the Jesus that I served. He never got a chance to experience the good life Jesus offered, but I know he's living it up on the other side. Thank God for that. I'm saying all that to tell you that this is the final hour of the church. You may not feel that way yet because you're not on the... We usually know things are bad when we feel pressure, correct? Yes. So because you don't feel pressure, you don't think it's bad. That's what happened in the days of Noah. They didn't see the rain. They've never seen rain. So Noah preached for 300 plus years. And so because they never felt the pressure of rain, they kept putting it aside until rain came and it was too late. And so this is why I'm saying this morning, is that the pressure is not on you. So some people don't really believe that this is going to happen. But the signs of it coming is in place. Have you ever been outside on some day and you could feel the damp cloud like it's gonna rain? That happened to me a couple days ago, and I just walked outside. And I go, whoa, that cloud just came. It's gonna rain. And as soon as I got inside, boom, it came down like a mad flood. But you could feel it. And I want to tell you, you don't just have to know the end of coming. You come on, everybody who believes that, you can feel it. Can't you feel it? And don't you see it on TikTok and all these crazy things? Yeah. So I'm telling you, it's the final hour of the church. This is it. And so today, really, you should be preparing yourself to get into the rapture. The rapture is kind of like the ark. You get in, the rain comes, you're saved. You get into the rapture, you are taken out. It is an escape from the judgment of God. What is it?
An escape from the judgment of God.
From the tribulation, which is the judgment of God. So the rapture is an escape. You will be raptured, and you will escape the coming tribulation. And so Pastor Asif, how do I get into the rapture? Well, you surrender your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's done by faith. He already paid for your sins. He already paid for your blessing, for your protection. And all you basically do is kind of like the ark again, you just get in. And how do you do that? You step in by faith, believing that the rain or the fire is coming. That's it. By faith, you are saved, the Bible says. By grace, you are saved through faith.